Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And also, just a reminder that the phone lines are open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here this afternoon at toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Let's go ahead and open our program here in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for another opportunity. We thank you for the access that we have to be able to speak to people and encourage people. I pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory today. Help us to be able to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage Christians in their walk with you, Lord. Bless now. Use us for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you today. And again, just a reminder as we get started here, you can always find out more about the program or listen to past programs or find out more about me or the church that I pastor, which is the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can go online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. You can link to that from livewithpastoral.com as well. And we're hoping that this will be a good year starting out. I mean, a lot of things happening, but in terms of a good year in terms of our church and in terms of the program, that we can do more and reach more people and point more people to Christ and bring glory to the Lord through that. That's what he put us here. We're here for his glory. And so I hope and encourage people to do more for the Lord here in 2016. Well, a couple things I wanted to start in with here today. And again, we were on last week, but if you weren't able to be with us, Happy New Year to you. And somebody asked on a program I was listening to earlier today, how far in the year can we go still saying Happy New Year? But I guess if you want to wait a while, you can wait till April 1st. April 1st used to be the beginning of the year, and then they changed that. That's where the term April Fools came from, because people would still celebrate April 1st, and they called them fools because they didn't know better. And at any rate, that's I digress there a little bit. But want to touch on a couple things happening here around us, and though I'm not going to necessarily get into it right now, would encourage you to keep an eye on what's happening in and around the Persian Gulf. There's been an escalation in tension between Iran and Saudi Arabia, as well as some of the other Gulf states. And I don't want to get into that whole story there. Maybe we'll talk about that on Sunday night a little bit more or something. But that is proven to be a very dangerous situation right now. And when you consider that the Iranians are doing their best to try to get nuclear weapons, and of course in the news was the thing with North Korea exploding a nuclear weapon, possibly a hydrogen bomb, and I think the reports now are suggesting that it probably wasn't really a hydrogen bomb. That was somewhat of the North Korean bluster and sort of bragging a little bit, trying to make it seem more than what it was. But what doesn't get reported much there, and this is tying in with the thing with Iran and Saudi Arabia that we need to be concerned about, and as well with Israel in the Middle East there, the North Korean nuclear program has a large number of Iranian military government scientists and technicians associated with it. So essentially, if the North Koreans have it, eventually it can be finding its way into Iran if it hasn't already. So you look at some of the Iranian missiles that can reach any part of Saudi Arabia, any part of Israel. Actually, most of Europe is within range, and they're developing ones that they hope one day would be able to reach us. And actually, if they put a rocket in orbit, as they did not too awfully long ago, technically they do have the capability of reaching us, because if you can orbit the Earth with a rocket, you can bring it down anywhere, and that's basically what an intercontinental ballistic missile is. In fact, many of our missiles, when they were decommissioned, some of them were turned into actually rockets used for space purposes, going into orbit and things like that. But pray for the situation in the Middle East. The Bible says we ought to pray for a peace of Jerusalem, and that peace isn't going to come really until the Lord Jesus comes and sets up his government over the world for 1,000 years following the 7-year tribulation period. So this could be the year that the Lord catches us away to be with him. But in the meanwhile, we have to do the best that we can. And that leads me into the next thing I wanted to mention here. On Tuesday, I believe it was, President Obama had his speech about what he wanted to do for gun control using executive orders. And, of course, if you heard the speech and you had never paid any attention to anything that was going on before, you would have thought, oh, how could anybody oppose what he's saying? And I listened to most of it, and I read the rest of it online, and I thought, well, wait a minute. If this is so important, and if he is brought to tears by the thought of these children being killed in these mass shootings, why didn't he do anything about this when the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate? Why is it all of a sudden in the last year of his term with the House and Senate controlled by the Republicans that he suddenly comes out with these plans and says, well, Congress won't do anything, Congress won't cooperate, and it's because he knows that even the Democrats in the House and the Senate would not have gone along with a lot of his things. And I was thinking of something as he was giving his little spiel. Yeah, I remember him distinctly saying, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health insurance, you can keep your health insurance. And it was just as if he was saying, if you like your gun, you can keep your gun. And I think we can believe that that he's as honest and sincere about that as he was with his comment, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. But what I wanted to do, though, is I heard a great question on a program on another station over the weekend, or not over the weekend, but I believe it was last Wednesday. And they were asking the question, well, if what he's saying isn't going to curb these mass shootings and gun violence in this country, what can we do to reduce gun violence? And by the way, it's not just the conservatives, the right wing, the pro gun people that are saying it. Even Obama in his speech said that we know we can't stop every act of violence, every act of evil in the world, but maybe we could try to stop one act of evil, one act of violence. Some of you may recall that the same time that Sandy Hook happened, a disturbed person in China took a knife, and by the way, it wasn't a knife, it was a sword, and tried to kill with a knife a bunch of children in China. But most of them survived because they didn't have access to a powerful weapon. Well, it's kind of apples and oranges because it was a sword, and even at Sandy Hook, most of the children there survived as well. But, you know, I digress. He continued, well, maybe we can't save everybody, but we can save some. Just as we don't prevent all traffic accidents, but we take steps to try to reduce traffic accidents. So he's admitting that even what he's proposing wouldn't stop these kind of things, but it might stop at least one, and so we have to act. Well, the question that this program was debating was, what can we do to stop gun violence? And a lot of people have thrown out things, and my wife and I were talking about with some other people, and people saying, well, you know, more guns. And there's a lot of truth to that. As gun ownership has gone up in our country, you can see where gun violence and gun, or I should say killings from guns or homicide and crime and stuff have gone down. In fact, if you look at the overall statistics, it's about 80% of the time, or I should say 80 times more often, a gun is used to in self-defense to prevent crime than it is to commit a crime, and that includes homicide, accidents, and suicides. The gun is 80 times more likely to be used to prevent crime than to be used for a homicide or an accident or a suicide. And that's kind of an interesting statistic when you look at that. But without getting into all that, I think that some of these things would be helpful. I think having kids be more aware. The National Rifle Association has the Eddie Eagle program that they use for training kids and things like that. And if more schools would allow that, I think that would help. But here's the one thing that I think should be done, that could be done, that could get us back where we used to be in this country, that I think would definitely help reduce gun violence. And that, I believe, is the teaching of Judeo-Christian values in this country again. In other words, biblical values, teaching the Bible. And there's some good press. Well, let me just give you some good verses on that issue. And here's some of them going all the way back here into Exodus. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." And that was, very wise advice there. Teaching the ordinances and the laws that come out of the Word of God and showing the way in which they must walk and the work that they must do. You know, we have this irrational fear, this paranoia on the part of the left in this country that seeing the Ten Commandments, which embody some of God's laws and commandments, that seeing the Ten Commandments on a school building wall in a hallway or in a classroom is going to somehow warp and twist the morals of some poor young child and cause them to become a rabid right-wing fundamentalist Christian zealot. By the way, the person who wrote down the Ten Commandments in the Bible for us under inspiration of the Holy Spirit was actually a Jewish man. So why doesn't the sight of the Ten Commandments endanger children of becoming, say, Orthodox Jews rather than right-wing fundamentalist Christians? Well, the Ten Commandments, the same Ten Commandments that are in the chamber where the Supreme Court meets and that appear all over government facilities, they don't want that in the public schools. And yet, here's starting back in Exodus, where there's these laws and these ordinances that ought to be taught. Now, let's go a little further here in Exodus. And this is the actual giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 24, verse 12. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that ye mayest teach them." They were written on stones so that they would last. They were written on stones so that they would be something that could be seen and referenced. And as God himself said, that thou mayest teach them. And again, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, in the first two verses, it says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the law of the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. And ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." And again, and later on in the same chapter, verses 8 through 10, "And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." You know what that's saying? Communicate the word of God and the things that the Bible says to our children and our grandchildren, especially the day that thou stoodst before the Lord in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, "Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children." And this is what we're to do. We're to teach the word of God to our children. And we should be doing this, obviously, in churches, But you know what? A lot of churches aren't doing that today. They've replaced the words of God for the words of men. They're not teaching the word of God. They're teaching the words of men. And we should be teaching this in our homes. A lot of people today are not training up their children in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We're supposed to teach these things to our children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, and ye fathers, and this goes to, if you're a father, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. These are things that are important. Let me go back to Psalm 78, giving a lot of scripture here purposely today. Psalm 78, starting in the second verse, says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, what this passage here in Psalm 78 is saying is we should not hide these things from our children. But you know, that's what we're doing. Back in the early 60s, they booted prayer and Bible reading out of the public schools. They said that after going all the way from the founding of our country, where prayer and Bible reading was a part of everything in our school, Capitol building, when the Capitol building was first built, they began having church services in the rotunda and in parts of the Capitol building. Every week they had church services, I believe up until the 1860s or so, and or 1870s or thereabouts, somewhere in that time frame. And we have chaplains in the House, chaplains in the Senate. The Supreme Court is open with the word of prayer. We have a Bible that's used when we swear in our president and when we have members of Congress take their oaths of office. We have chaplains in the military. This country was founded on biblical values and principles. Our laws were founded on biblical values and principles. You know, the laws of the United States of America go back to English common law, which in and of itself goes back to biblical laws. And, you know, one of the things people say, well, we're a democracy. No, we're a republic. And there's a big difference. We're specifically a constitutional republic. If you're not sure of the difference, let me give it to you right away. Let's say you got a brand new bike, and all the kids in the neighborhood say, we think that we ought to have that bike and not you. Well, in a democracy, well, the majority rules. They take the bike from you. But in a constitutional republic, there's laws that govern the affairs of men. We're a nation of laws, and those laws say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. That comes from the commandments of God, and so as a result, the majority of people cannot legally get together and say, we voted that we should take your bike from you because you don't deserve it. Well, hey, we have a constitutional amendment, the Second Amendment, that says that the right to bear arms should not be infringed upon. And we got people trying to say, oh, no, we don't like your bike or your guns. We're going to take them away from you. And in a democracy, a pure democracy, we'd have no recourse. We'd have no way to object. But this is a constitutional republic. Because it's a constitutional republic, we're able to appeal to the laws of the land, laws that ultimately go back to the Word of God. And so as a consequence, I'm thankful that we have a constitution. I'm thankful that we have a nation that was founded upon biblical laws and principles. But we're hiding that from our children. Psalm 78 said that we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. But we're afraid to teach that to our children today, especially in the schools, especially through public policy. Whereas for most of our country's history, I mean, we came from a little backwoods nation that took on the greatest nation in the world in its day. In the Revolutionary War, we defeated probably the most powerful nation in the world. And God set us up and allowed us to continue growing, blessed us with all kinds of resources. And as we served God and as we upheld him, have we always been perfect? Absolutely not. Have our leaders and our representatives and senators and governors and mayors across this land always been perfect, God-fearing Christians? Absolutely not. But for most of our country, even people who weren't saved, even people who didn't go to church, at least had a respect for biblical morality, biblical principles embodied in the Word of God, and thought that the Word of God needed to be taught and communicated to our children and to our children's children. And now that we're turning away from that as a nation, we see rampant abortion, the murder of millions of unborn children just simply for the convenience of somebody else or for the money that they can get for the parts. We see the open insistence that homosexuality be acknowledged pandered to and praised throughout our country, people with mental illnesses that cause them to want to mutilate their bodies because they don't think that they were born the right way, rather than get them the mental help that they need. We have to be made afraid and shamed for saying what I just said. You know, we need to communicate the Word of God to our children. It's got to start in our churches and in our homes. That's where it's got to be. And when Christians are not communicating these things in their homes to their children and their grandchildren, when our churches are not communicating these words to our children and to the next generation, then we can't be surprised that we live in a world, in a country that has degenerated and drifted so far from its biblical roots as our country has today. This is our opportunity to combat the rise in violence and gun violence and things like this in our country. It's not going to be in the laws. We already have enough laws on the books. It's going to be in instilling biblical values in our children, hopefully leading them to a saving knowledge of Christ so that the Holy Spirit can begin working and changing them from within. And as we begin, if God tarries in his coming long enough, as we begin reaching the next generation and the following generation with the gospel and instilling biblical values in them, we can see our country turn around. It's not going to be through Islamic values. Islamic values are counter to biblical values. It's not going to be through secular values. Secular values is what we're seeing the fruit of today. It's not going to be through government passing more laws. It's going to be from getting back into the Word of God as Christians, as pastors, as church members, and yes, as school teachers, as government officials. We shouldn't be afraid of it. They weren't afraid to acknowledge God in the past in our country. And God raised us up from a backwoods country to become the most powerful, the most advanced country, the most nation that the world has ever seen. And that's because we structured our nation, we structured our lives, our communities around the biblical values. And even people who didn't go to church still had respect for biblical values. How are we going to reduce gun violence? How are we going to reduce the stuff that's happening in the world around us, the evil in the world around us today? Get back into the Word of God. That's what I'd like to encourage you to do this year. Make this the year that you resolve to get your family back into the Word of God. If you're going to do that, you got to get yourself back into the Word of God. Get yourself into the Word of God individually. Get your family into the Word of God if you have a family. And if you don't, make a difference with your friends. Encourage them to get into the Word of God. And then for churches, our pastors, our teachers, our deacons in the churches, we need to get back into the Word of God. We got to begin teaching the things of God, the praises of God, his strength, his wonderful works, his commandments, all that he's given to us. That's what's going to change America. That's what's going to change lives in our communities across this country. Let me encourage you to be a part of that change today. Get back into the Word, God. And the most important thing you can do to that is to trust Christ as your Savior so that you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, teaching you and helping you to do just that. Let me encourage you to get back into the Word of God this year. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.